This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Thursday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Jackie Clark from Staten, Kentucky, and you are listening to a special Mountain Horse episode of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 12th, episode 933. This episode is brought to you by the Kentucky Equestrian Center. Good morning, Horse World.
We have a big show for you.
I like Thursdays.
And now, let's settle in for some great conversation about the United Mountain Horse breeds and the great folks who love them.
Well, good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining us here at Horses in the Morning. We appreciate you stopping by this morning. Have your cup of coffee in hand. And I am so excited to have the lovely Jackie Clark back with us today. Hi, Jackie. Oh, is she not there? Did we lose Jackie? Jackie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, I don't know what happened, but you weren't there for a second. So welcome back to the show. It's good to have you.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
I call you lovely and you weren't even there. See, I get no credit for that now.
Darn it. Not fair. Not fair. Just kidding.
Jackie, I have to tell you a funny story. We have about 10 or 12 listeners that are our focus group, and they listen to every show we do here on the network,
right,
which is a lot every week. It's almost 20 every week.
Yes.
And
yes,
they listen to them all, and some of our Canadian listeners said, boy, I had to listen real hard to that show Jackie was on to understand anything she was saying. So.
Oh, goodness. I always get comments about my accent, so...
So if you could tone the southern accent down. Yeah, tone it down there, Jackie.
Sorry.
Actually, you know what's funny is I love your southern accent. I've told you that before. I just love it. And it's one of the things that I really enjoyed when we lived in Lexington, Kentucky, is everybody has really nice southern accents there. And then we moved to Florida, and they're all imports here, so nobody has any accent. You know, we don't get that anymore. But yeah, going to restaurants and having the waitresses, especially if they – and all the college kids from Eastern Kentucky or Western Kentucky,
yeah,
you know, like you, that sweet accent.
Well, thank you. I'm very proud of where I come from in Eastern Kentucky, so sometimes my accent can be a little thick, but I've tried to tone it down, but sometimes it just doesn't work.
Well, you know what I noticed, too, with Eastern Kentucky girls is if – the faster they talk, the thicker the accent gets.
Yes. I know sometimes when I get, you know, a little frustrated or a little mad and I start to talk very fast, my accent gets a whole lot thicker. So just don't make me mad. Because
you'll
right, probably never
you
understand it.
All right, I'll keep
I
that
like
in
it.
Mind.
I like it. Don't then. Make me mad.
Don't make me mad.
Well, you know what? It's great being Jackie's boyfriend because, you know, if he makes her mad, he can't understand her anyway, so it doesn't matter, you know?
Exactly.
But, all good.
And he goes, it was so funny, he goes, well, I'm going to really try not to make you mad, but if you do, I'm sorry. And he's already apologized ahead of time. So can't hold it against me.
Funny. Well, all right, let's you have a special something you want to do at the beginning of the show here, even before we get to Jennifer. Tell us what that is.
Yes. So today is my mom's birthday, so I would like to give a birthday shout out to my mom and tell her happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Mom. We have something special for you. That's our special happy birthday we do here at Horses in the Morning. So, yeah, that's great. And one of these days we're going to have to get your mom on the show, and then I can ask her all about what kind of naughty child you were growing up.
I was a good kid sometimes. 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 I'm sure
Jennifer,
she'll be on this show. She'll be on this show at some point. So.
You know, what's nice about that is I have the ability to put you on mute so I can have a private conversation with her, and you can't say anything. It's really nice.
Oh, goodness.
So you have that to look
forward to. I can't defend myself.
See, the bad part about that, though, Glenn, is when you take her back off of mute, she's going to be mad as a hornet, and you won't understand a word she's saying.
I won't understand a word she's saying.
There you go.
On today's United Mountain Horse Thursday edition, brought to you by the Kentucky Equestrian Center, Jackie introduces a new competitive opportunity for mountain horse enthusiasts designed to highlight the versatility of the mountain horse. And then next up, Susie Buchanan, Executive Director of the Rocky Mountain Horse Association, will stop by for a chat. And following close behind, Woody Pluckett talks about trailer safety. I love his name, Woody Pluckett. He sounds like a country music star. Maybe he'll sing.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah, it does sound like that. Hey, you're from Eastern Kentucky. I have a special song planned for you today, Jackie. When we get to our song, it's going to be dedicated to you and everybody else that lives in Eastern Kentucky.
Awesome.
So you have that to look forward to. Well, you know, I wanted to remind everybody, if you're new to this particular episode every month on Horses in the Morning, we did one previous episode from United Mountain Horse that Jackie co-hosted. This is her second time. And if you missed that episode, you can go to horsesinthemorning.com and just search for United Mountain Horse, and it'll bring up that previous episode. You can take a listen to it. As a matter of fact, you can hear all of our past episodes, all 932 of them, at horsesinthemorning.com, or you can get our app. That's another great way to listen to the show recorded after we put out the show, recorded after about an hour after it's done, and it'll show up on the app, and you go to the iOS or Android app store and search for Horse Radio Network. You can listen to it that way as well. Well, Jackie, I know that the United Mountain Horse has introduced a new partnership. Tell us about that.
Yes, they have. So United Mountain Horse is now partnering with ACTHA, stands for American Competitive Trail Horse Association. So they have decided at UMH and at the Kentucky Equestrian Center that they're going to hold three-day ACTHA events. So it will be a Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday. So on Friday, we're going to have what is called Arena Trail Obstacle, and that's trail obstacles that are placed in a show arena setting. And then for Saturday and Sunday, there's going to be a competitive trail challenge. So on the trail, this will be obstacles that you may encounter. So it'll be a creek or a log that you have to drag out of the way or something like that. And I like to look at the competitive trail part as like cross country for mountain horses. That's how I think of it in my mind.
There you go.
And so this is a great way to show that, you know, some of these horses that show in United Mountain Horse can be on the trail. And I know last time we talked about the versatility, this is one way that really shows the versatility. And how we used to do this is actually we would have at our shows a trail obstacle class, and it would be split up into adult and juvenile. So we actually had juvenile riders that would participate, and it was part of our versatility award. So there would be a rider that would ride a certain horse and get points, and then they would win this award over a show or over the entire year. And that's how we used to tie it in. And, you know, it was done in show clothes, and it really wasn't as relaxed as this ACTHA event. So this gives, you know, this makes it more of like a trail. It more like you're out on the trails with other people or by yourself, and, you know, you just ride all day. So it's a really neat thing. I like it. I think it's a whole lot better, and I think other people are starting to like it because, you know, it makes it more relaxed and more informal than how it was at the shows. So,
and it makes it a lot more. It makes it a lot more accessible to more people too, who don't want to buy the show clothes and who don't want to do all of that, but want to go out and still have a good time showing, in a little more natural way, actually.
Exactly, and you know, for these ACTHA events, you don't have to have a mountain horse. You know, a lot of people that we're around and at our ACTA event for our mountain horses, but we had one woman at our last ACTA event that had a quarter horse. So, I mean, it's any type of horse can do this ACTA event. And ACTA had a competitive trail riding series that was televised.
Right.
And,
yep, that's right.
And we had mountain horses that were on that show from people that we show horses with. And they were up against any kind of breed of horse. But, you know, it's just kind of good marketing for the mountain horse to say, like, you know, look what this horse can do up against a quarter horse. Look what this horse can do up against this kind of horse. So good to show versatility. And this is one way that you can truly see the versatility in these horses.
Now, are the events timed? Are they judged? How does that work?
They are timed and judged. So, for example, I judged a ACTA event just recently. And my first obstacle that I judged was the tug-a-log. So you would pull a log a certain distance. Now there's different categories. There's like open, pleasure, and juvenile. And you have a certain amount of time to get this obstacle done. So say you have 45 seconds to dismount, get the log, mount your horse, and drag it a certain distance for your category. Well, obviously, if you time out, you don't get a score. But say you have 45 seconds and you get it done in 35. I would judge how well I think that you did the obstacle. And in ACTA, the horse and the rider is judged. It's team. I mean, you look at them cohesively as a team. You look at how well the rider is calm, how well the horse responds to the rider, but the horse and the rider both get individual scores.
So if the horse gets all tangled up in the rope, that's a bad score.
Right, correct. And personally, you would kind of have to look at it and see, well, did the horse step on the rope or did the horse step sideways or, you know, and safety is a big issue with ACTA, obviously, because you're on the trails. And ACTA tries to keep this event as safe as possible. And they do a very good job. And they, in their judging, it's like safety is first. So is the rider keeping the horse safe? Is this horse doing their best to keep their rider safe? So it's a really great thing. And I enjoyed watching it and judging. And I hope I get to do another one.
Now, when is the first event?
The first event, we had one last month. I can't remember the date because it's been
okay. I'm taking a look here at your calendar, and it looks like the next ACTA one might be in the fall. Does that sound right? September?
No.
Yeah, September. September and October.
There may be one in September and October.
Yep, there's one coming up there.
I thought there was another one coming up. I'll have to check.
Okay. And this is all in Kentucky, Jackie?
We do it in Kentucky, but, you know, I know they do it all over.
Yeah, ACTA does it all over, but I was just meant for the United Mountain Horse. Yep, okay.
Oh, yeah, United Mountain Horse. We mostly stay in Kentucky.
But it will spread like wildfire, I'm sure, because these things are incredibly popular. And it's really cool
that
a breed association is becoming involved in it and creating a venue for riders who want to show but don't like doing the type of showing that requires you going around the outside edge of the arena, because there are lots of folks out there who want to be competitive, but that's just not their cup of tea. And one of my favorite things to do on the ACTA webpage is they actually have an entire section of the website dedicated to the types of obstacles used. And they give those show organizers like you, Jackie, a variety of obstacles available, but they have guidelines so that someone who goes to a lot of different ACTA events can have some consistency. And they have one called a frog in the pond. And you create a water source, either a naturally occurring small pond, or you can use a kiddie pool, a water feature at somebody's riding venue, and the rider is required to approach the water source, the kiddie pool or something, and they have to pick up and toss into the pool a rubber ducky or a small stone that will create a splash and then leave. And I thought, well, that's such a cool obstacle to have because, it, you know, you never know what's going to happen because you ride by a body of water. Here in Florida, there's liable to be an alligator slither in, but maybe in Kentucky you're a lot more likely to have a giant bullfrog jump in. So that's kind of cool that you guys are using that as an outlet for your members, just another way to come out and join the family-friendly competitive fun at the United Mountain Horse event.
Oh, yeah, and I think the ASA is more competitive than in the show ring because, I mean, sometimes, you know, in the show ring you'll have those amazing classes where there's five horses and any five horses perfect that day and you don't know how to place it. But with this ASA stuff, I think it's so much more competitive and it's truly testing your horse. And testing your horse's ability and also testing the rider because sometimes, you know, people can get frustrated and lose their patience. But if you stay calm and go through and push through, I think, you know, you're a great rider if you can do this. Because I know some of the stuff that they had to do, I was like.
Yeah. There's a significant skill set on both the horse and the rider's part. There's one in there. I'm just clicking on this one button. A horse and rider team may be asked to ride past objects such as ping pong balls, spraying balls off their perch. Oh, this is just like they used to do on that show you watched. What was that show you watched on the TV, Glenn, with the obstacle courses?
Oh, yeah. You know, my pony would be fine at all of this as long as there wasn't a fly mask on the ground. But that apparently is the most terrifying thing ever. So.
Oh, no. I used to ride a horse that was scared of butterflies. So.
Oh, really?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I almost got thrown because a butterfly flew past us. That was good. And then,
yeah, we have a
and
lot
then she finally figured out what they were, and she wanted to chase them.
So. We have a lot of hawks in the neighborhood. That horse would not do well with the hawks swooping down in front of their faces.
I was like, oh, my gosh. She was,
well,
she
now
was
you
funny.
Are- You also have a Kentucky State Championship show coming up, too, right, in June?
Yes, we do. That show is June 20th and 21st, so it is actually coming up a week from tomorrow. And that is in Prestonsburg, Kentucky, and I love that facility up there. It's part of Jenny Wiley State Park up in Prestonsburg, and it's really pretty, and it's on a strip mine, but, I mean, is Eastern Kentucky. Everything up there is on a strip mine. it's gorgeous up through there. And you just drive up this little hill, and it's such like a pretty serene drive up to this. And there's baseball complexes, softball fields. There's this horse show ring. Stonecrest Golf Course is just up the hill from us. And when I played golf, which was my high school days, me and my golf coach were actually working the show at that time, and we went up to Stonecrest and played, and that golf course is beautiful up there. And there's the lake that's part of Jenny Wiley State Park. It's such a nice place, and the facilities are gorgeous. The staff that works there is so nice. And I think it's a little bit of a different venue because everyone says, you know, when we found this place, everyone gets kind of tired of seeing KEC, which is the Kentucky Equestrian Center. That's what we all call it. So it's a little bit of a different kind of venue. It's a different atmosphere, but I love it up there. It is so gorgeous. And, you know, the further Eastern Kentucky you go, the further I think is it gets prettier. So the drive up there is so gorgeous. And, you know, the people in Eastern Kentucky are very hospitable to us, so it's a great place. Our class list for the show is on the website, but it's on the United Mountain Horse website. It's usually the same classes. We'll have 26 classes on Friday, and then we'll start with class 27 and go to class 60-something. I'm really not for sure on the show bill because my mom right now is in the process of editing and finalizing. That way she can get that out to everyone. But we've added a lot more championships this year. We've added amateur championships. You know, of course, we have our juvenile championships, but and our regular open championships. But our amateur, AOT, and novice championships, we've really had a great response to those, which is awesome. And I think it's a great thing for, you know, it draws more people in. And if anyone is wanting to come watch this show and is in the Eastern Kentucky area, it is a great place, and you meet so many great people. And just the city of Prestonsburg alone is very nice and very hospitable to us. So I think this next weekend it'll be a great show, and I always love going up to Jenny Wiley.
I've been in Eastern Kentucky, and you're right about it being absolutely beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful, and this is about, what, 2 hours west of Lexington. It's even east of Lexington. It's even east of West Liberty yet, isn't it?
Yes. It's east of me, Powell County. So it's about an hour and a half from me. But
so
in
you're,
Powell
you're
County,
truly in the hills. You're in the hills there.
Yeah, I'm on the border. Powell County is on the border of central and eastern Kentucky. So we have a little trouble of where we're from, but I consider myself from eastern Kentucky. So.
Well, good. Well, that's all coming. You can find out more details on that at UnitedMountainHorse.com. Now, you mentioned the Kentucky Equestrian Center. Let's talk a little bit about that, because it is one of the it's one of your premier facilities that you guys use. So tell us, where is it and what is it and what's the story on it?
Okay, so Kentucky Equestrian Center is located just off the Mountain Parkway. So a little bit of background on KEC. So we'll do like a past, present, future kind of deal. So the history, there was actually a founding sire born on this farm for the Rocky Mountain and Mountain Horse breed. So this horse was born on this farm. This used to be the old Crow Farm. Now, even back further, this was part of the Indian oil field. So it's part of this park, which is located in Clark County in a little small town that is part of Clark County called Kidville. And there was a Shawnee Indian reservation that was actually on this land that this farm is on. And there was only two Shawnee settlements in the state of Kentucky, and this farm was one of them. So that's a neat little tidbit of, it's like a little fun. Today, what KDC is used for horse shows. There's 17 miles of trail that has been cut out of this. So it's used for shows. There's barns on this grounds that have been built that are very nice. We have our normal riding arena. We have our trail obstacle course. We have a dressage ring. We have a warm-up ring. It's a really nice place, and there's fields everywhere. You're surrounded by trees, and if you want to, you can just go ride and just get away from it and go show, and it's a really great place. But they are looking to enhance this and make it more accessible to other breeds. So all the finishing or all the future plans are also on the Kentucky Equestrian Center website, which is pretty cool because it has drawings of what it's going to look like. And I think that's pretty cool just to, you know, see future plans and see what it could look like. So one of the future plans is actually finishing an exit ramp that comes off of the Mountain Parkway that leads, it's a shorter distance that can get you closer to KEC, because right now you're having to go up into Powell County and get off at the Clay City exit and go that way, which it's a little bit further distance. But with these new exit ramps, it's going to make it a whole lot closer and a whole lot easier for people to get to this facility.
For reference, for people, the Mountain Parkway actually comes off of Route 64. Anybody that's been over to Lexington, right. Kentucky from anywhere in the east has traveled on 64 out of West Virginia and then headed over to Lexington. Well, one of the towns you go through on your way to Lexington on Route 64 is Winchester, and that's where the Mountain Parkway takes off and heads southeast from Winchester. And we've been on the Mountain Parkway, and it's just a beautiful road. I mean, it's probably one of the prettiest roads in the country. It's a neat road.
Oh, yes. And it's really cool because from the Mountain Parkway, you can see KEC. You can see it. And it's really pretty because our photographers at the shows try to get that in the background. And it's so pretty, and it's such an awesome backdrop to see. And, you know, it makes it easier to draw more people in just with the surroundings. So they're wanting to actually add more barns to KEC as well. So this is, you know, obviously that makes more room for horses, which is, I think, is great. And they're wanting to add additional arenas, which, you know, there's talking about adding, you know, barrels and quarter horses and stuff like that to add and bring more people in. So it's a really great facility, and I love using it. I think it's awesome. I showed in the very first class that was held at KEC when the World Show got moved there, right? I showed, that was, oh goodness, 2008, 2009, something around in there. So that was pretty cool. I felt kind of special that day. Because I was like, I had a show in the first class. I was like, ah, ha, ha. But I didn't win, it's okay.
That's okay. And you can find more about that at KentuckyEquestrianCenter.org is where you'll find that all of their programs and more information about the facility. And that's coming up, actually, on June 20th and 21st. What kind of turnout will you get at a weekend like that?
A pretty good turnout. Last weekend, the weekend of May 30th, we had our second show, and it was a great turnout. We had so many people that came, and I was impressed. There were over 100 horses there. There were a lot of people there supporting their trainers and their riders. And we've added something new this year where we have it's like a Breeders' Cup challenge. So we have a top stallion and a top mare for the show, and we also have a trainers challenge, which we have top trainers. So that was pretty neat. And the stallion that won the Breeders' Cup was Uncle John, who is
okay. Now wait a minute, Jackie. You talk about a Breeders' Cup, and for people who aren't really into the whole, you're going to have to explain that because it almost sounds like you're putting them out there to breed, see who wins. So
no.
Explain that a little bit.
They gain points through the show. So if you get a first place, you get so many points. If you get a second place, you get this many points.
Okay.
And the top five stallions are pulled into the ring. They do confirmation, and then they're judged, and they pick a winner. And then the mares is the same way. The top five mares are pulled into the ring. They judge them on confirmation, and that's your top mare.
Well, you know, Jackie,
for a second
you added
there,
the
I thought
class,
they were. I thought they had a stakes race for mountain horses there for a second.
No.
I thought they were just putting
horses.
Them all in to see who bred with who. But you know what?
No.
If you did my class, you could get more spectators.
No, but it was really awesome. We had a close race in the trainers. It was separated by points, and I mean single-digit points. And so that was pretty neat just to see, you know, how close our trainers were. But S.T. Tipton, who has been on a horse probably since he was born, he won the trainers challenge this past weekend, and he trained me when I first started showing. He's won multiple World Grand Championships. His family has been involved in mountain horses for as long as I can remember because I started out under his grandmother, and S.T. was there, and S.T. trained my first horse that I showed. So that was pretty cool. And he won the 06 World Grand Championship. He won the 05 or 06 Western World Grand Championship. In 09, he won the Trail Pleasure Championship again. In 2012, he won the Trail Pleasure World Grand Championship and the Country Trail World Grand Championship. And then in 2013, he won the Trail Pleasure World Grand Championship again and the Western World Grand Championship and the Park World Grand Championship. So ST has had a lot of World Grand Championships and a lot of blue ribbons under his belt. So, and he is now training more juveniles and more amateurs. And he has done a fantastic job at Van Burt Farms. He's done a great job with everyone that he comes in contact with, actually. And then Henry Elam, who was another trainer, he trains Uncle John, who won the Stallions Breeders' Cup. And Henry's been in the business for over 25 years, and he owns Longhorn Valley Farm in Paris. And collectively, Henry has won 25 international and world grand championship titles. He is also a farrier within this breed. So Henry is versatile. And Uncle John is owned by Henry and Bill Lampton. And he has won 3 Park Pleasure World Grand Championship in this year alone. And he's a 7-year-old stallion. So if anybody is looking for a great stallion to breed to, I would definitely recommend Uncle John. He's a gorgeous horse, And Henry does a great job with him as well. Another trainer that plays really well was Sean Lyons. And Sean is the head trainer at Prince Albert Stables, which is actually in Paintsville, I believe, which isn't that far from Prestonsburg. So it's around in that area. And whole career with horses has been spent with this mountain horse. And he started his career with Prince Albert Stables and went to another local stable and was there and quickly excelled to Trainer of the Year. And he loves working around his horse. He's been on a horse since he was 5. And his parents are very, you know, adamant about him. And he loves training and riding and owns his horse. And he's a great trainer, and he has a great group that helps him. And lastly, our mayor that won was She's Got the Touch, which was owned by Stacy and Chris Tipton, who is a sire out of Chocolate Venture. And this has been Stacy's horse since she was 9 years old. And She's Got the Touch, which her nickname is Touch, started winning in 2009 when she was a yearling. And she's now owned by Emily Nolan here in Staunton, Kentucky. And Stacy and Chris trained this horse. And I think Stacy likes to keep Touch around because, you know, Stacy grew up with her. So we've got a great group of horses and a great group of trainers. So I think, you know, if people want to come out and watch, you can definitely pick Sire to breed to really quick. So I think it's a great thing what they're doing with the Breeders' Cup and with the Trainers' Challenge.
And it does help to win those classes as far as your breeding fees are concerned. That, you know, in any breed, you know, it definitely helps your breeding fees when you win those. Well, our first guest is ready if you want to introduce Suzanne.
Okay. So Suzanne Buchanan is our first guest, and we would like to thank her for being with us this morning. Suzanne is the executive director of the Rocky Mountain Horse Association. So Suzanne, if you want to give us your marketing background and your background within horses, because it's a lot, so, and I may miss something, and I don't want to take anything away from you. So if you want to go ahead and tell everyone your background and how you got involved with a mountain horse.
Okay. I am a graduate from the University of Miami with a business degree and minors in marketing and public relations. I started off working in the NFL with the Miami Dolphins.
Let's stop right there, Suzanne.
Okay.
my ears perked up. So what'd you do with the Miami Dolphins?
Well, actually, while I was in college, I was a Miami Dolphin cheerleader.
Oh, is
and
that right?
Then I interned. While I was doing that, I got an opportunity to intern in the public relations department with the Dolphins. So I did that until I graduated. And then I went to work for them full-time.
Well, was that a good experience? I mean, was it a good experience? Do you think it was really something that helped you out in the future?
I do. I grew up in Miami, Florida. My dad was sheriff of Dade County during the 60s. And so I loved South Florida. I was a native. Both of my parents were natives, which is really unusual down there. And so I grew up with the Miami Dolphins. And I actually, my roommate in college, we were both dancers, and she talked me into going to the tryouts. And at that time, we were the only second cheerleading team in existence behind the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. So first year that we tried out, there were 1,500 girls.
Whoa!
Yeah. So it was a great experience. We came in. We were the pioneers for the cheerleaders. It was all new territory. None of the organization, none of the NFL had any background or experience in dealing with the whole professional cheerleaders. So it was brand new. We weren't college cheerleaders. We were dancers. We were managed by June Taylor of the June Taylor Dancers and the Jackie Gleason Show. So I'm telling my age by telling you that.
Jackie has no idea what you're talking about.
No, she doesn't. She's way too young for that.
No, I'm just taking it all in over here.
I got to do two Super Bowls. I got to be on the Bob Hope Super Bowl show, which I don't know if you remember that one either. But I got to travel the country. We did Battle the NFL Cheerleaders, so I got to travel the country for two seasons doing that.
A lot of people don't realize you guys don't get paid nothing. I mean, it's...
Yeah, we didn't. As a matter of fact, I went back and did a 20-year reunion show in Miami for the Jets-Miami Dolphin game. We did the halftime show, which was 20 years of NFL cheerleaders. And we had to come back. When we were there, we got the old Dolphin locker room, cement floors. We had broken pieces of mirror that we would stick up against the walls to put our makeup on. We worked 8 hours a day practicing in a gym with no air conditioning. And then we would go out 3 hours before game and practice. We would do and while the football players were resting, we did pregame, we did the game, we come back and do a halftime show. And nobody really understood how much work was involved. And the way that the NFL had set it up was you were not allowed to do any paying jobs unless you did 20 hours a month of charity work. So you got paid $15 a game, and you didn't get paid for any of your practice time or anything else. So back then, we did pioneer for the new girls, and when we went back for the 20-year reunion, these girls had professional locker rooms, and they had, makeup mirrors, and they had their own dance studios. And we walked in and we were like, you have no idea what we did to pave the way for you guys.
I have never met a horse girl that's been a professional NFL cheerleader, so that's why I picked up on that. Were you in the Joe Namath days? Because if you went to two Super Bowls, you must have been around that time.
Joe Namath had actually just retired. I was in the Bob Greasy days.
Okay.
Yeah, and that was when the Super Bees, remember the Super Bees?
Yep.
Was the first Super Bowl, which was against the Washington Redskins.
Yep, that's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, some guy talk here on the show. I don't get that very often, so thank you for that.
And I love football. I do. I still love football.
All right, Jackie, you can take over. Sorry about that. I had to hijack it for a
minute. No, you're fine. You're fine. I'm a football fan, too, so talk football all you want.
You have to be football and basketball. You go to University of Kentucky, so
well,
if you're not, they'd kick you out.
I'm a UK basketball fan, but I'm going to stick my foot in my mouth. I roll Tide when it comes to football.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me?
Gosh.
I roll
Tide. Lucky you're still alive.
Roll Tide.
You're lucky.
And everybody
hates me.
I
got that.
I hope nobody from UK is listening because I feel like I'm going to get kicked out. Hey, not Louisville. It's not Louisville. That's what I tell everybody.
Right.
I'm not walking around campus with Cardinals on. I said so.
Well, and actually, when I went to work for the Birmingham Stallions, you know, that Roll Tide country. I mean, they bleed true red, just like Kentucky bleeds blue. So, yeah, they take their football very seriously in Alabama, too.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to go down to Alabama, but oh, well. I guess I'll stay here. But,
I hope no bodily harm comes to you, Jackie, in the next couple of days. I'll be praying for you.
I know. I'm going to stay in my house. I'm going to barricade myself in my house. That way nobody hurts me. But,
all right, let's talk horses.
Okay, so obviously, Suzanne, social media has become huge in all aspects, and including in the horse world, and especially the mountain horse world. So from social media, what kind of customers and other people are you seeing come in from this new wave of Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and stuff like that?
Well, just in the membership of the Rocky Mountain Horse Association, you know, we are 85% of our horses are trail riders. And we have a lot of baby boomers who are now getting into retirement age who have disposable income that they're looking at getting, you know, women that were involved in horses when they were younger, raised their kids, and they want to get back into it. Or, you know, empty nesters who move out to the country and want some type of activity that they can do together, or, you know, farm life. And what I'm seeing is that, especially with the mountain horses, we are compared to some of the other breeds, we are a new breed. And a lot of these people have trouble finding access to information about our horses. And social media has bridged that gap for them. They are able to go onto Facebook and, you know, throw out a message out there saying, hey, I live in Colorado. You know, I've got Rocky Mountain horses. Is there anybody else out there? I want to look at more, and maybe I want to buy one. I want to go trail riding. And they have instant access to a support group. So social media is a tremendous help to us as an organization, because it is a way for our membership to connect, to see pictures of each other, to share pictures of their horses and of their trail riding experiences or their show experiences. It is a necessity for us to get that information out there. I see messages from members all the time of, you know, I want to try a new bit, or my horse has got this issue or a problem. How would you address it? And they'll get information from all over the country. You know, people good, and that's one of the things that I love about the mountain horses is the type of people that are involved in it. They're wonderful, they're friendly, they're helpful, they're caring. You know, in a situation where we had one member whose barn burned down in Ohio, she lost a couple of her horses. And instantaneously, you know, the information went out there on the social media, and within minutes, people were asking how they could help, where could they take donations, you know, did they need to go to her house and pick up her other horses, and so forth. So it's definitely bridging a gap for information and for support that we as an association, you know, try to provide for our members but can't always provide in outlying areas.
And I know I'm part of a couple of Rocky Mountain groups on Facebook, and I remember seeing that, and I was like, oh, my goodness, and it was instant. There were comments popping up, and I was like, wow, you know, it just shows that, you know, we all are connected in some way, even if we're just friends on Facebook. So, you know, with how social media is reaching people like that, and it's obviously having a positive effect. Do you see other regions of the country or even other countries that are being influenced by social media?
I do. Especially out west, where it's spread out more. You know, Kentucky is somewhat centralized. If people get together much easier, that, you know, this breed started in the Appalachian area. And so people are very well connected out there. But as people purchase these Rockies or these mountain horses and they move out, you know, they go back out to their areas, especially in Canada, especially in California, especially in Europe, you know, they don't have access to our information that we have so readily here. They don't get to see the shows. They don't get to come over and participate in the after rides or so forth. But they right. can see pictures, and they can mm-hmm. see videos. And that is helping them because I get a lot of questions from European members who have purchased mountain horses and taken them overseas. And by the time that they get the horses and they bring them home to their farms, they're really not sure, you know, if they're doing it properly, if they understand the gait. And so watching videos from members in the United States that they've connected with through social media, they're when they ask these questions, not only are they able to see pictures, but our members are sending them videos and then assisting them in the questions that they've got about the gates or the confirmation or the collection and anything else about riding gated horses. Now we are able to give them that support.
Mm-hmm. Which I think it's a great thing because I've seen many of horses go overseas. One in particular that pops in my mind is now in Germany. And I know the trainer of that horse was getting phone calls, and he's like, you know, and she said, well, I saw you do this on Facebook. Could I do that? And I thought that was so cool because, I mean, this woman is literally over the puddle, and mm-hmm. she's seeing this stuff being done. And I think it's awesome that, you know, social media, it shows that, you know, social media now has a positive effect, even in the horse world. Now,
yes, it
you
does.
Know,
and it's actually generating interest in other areas that people may not have felt comfortable going into previously. In other words, you know, right now, like in California, you have people who might have always trail rode their horses. But now that they're able to see videos and they're able to connect with people and they see some of these, you know, videos of fun shows or classes or, you know, saddle seat. And now they're seeing these videos rather than just hearing about them from members. You know, I went to an after ride this weekend or I went to a show this weekend and we had so much fun. And it's very intimidating, and that's something that we've been trying to bridge a gap on, is that when you've spent your life trail riding your horse, you do a lot of these things like you were talking about with the trail obstacles. You know, you go over streams and you ride in the middle of a stream and or you go over logs and boulders and things like that. And you don't think anything about it because that's what you do every day. But you take those same people and bring them over to the show ring and they see, you know, these horses with the saddle seat clothing and the, you know, the silk coats and the top hats and the ties, and it's extremely intimidating to think, oh, no, I could never do that. You know, those are professional trainers. Look what they make those horses do. It's beautiful. I could never do that. And so that's something that video and social media is helping us with, is that they're actually able to watch videos of more versatility events where they go, wait a second, that's not such a big step anymore. You know, if we're doing a working trail obstacle class, which starts off inside the ring, but now they're doing trail obstacles in the middle of it, they're thinking, I do that every day. I could do that. There's no problem with that. So that's another thing that I'm hoping that we see with the social media, is that we are able to get that information and actually show videos of different versatility events and have more people wanting to participate because it's not seeming so daunting and so intimidating anymore.
Right. And obviously now with social media and other people within this, you know, they're held to a higher standard now. Because now everything that is put on the internet and or social media, they see.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Exposed a lot more.
And the only negative side that I see of it is mm-hmm. that sometimes, you know, it's like you'll see jokes about it on TV, you know, late night jokes about the fact that everybody thinks whatever they see on the internet is true. It's kind of
right.
like the State Farm commercial, you know. But again,
what, that's not true?
No, exactly. But it's a double-edged sword. And the good thing about the Mountain Horse community is that someone will get on there, and if they do have misinformation, they will get a multitude of comments in both on both sides of the fence. In other words, if it is more of an opinion, or if someone says, I read this someplace, is that true? They will, if they throw that question out there, they will get a variety of answers, and they will have people who will come back and tell them, no, you need to look over here, or you need to check this out, or go to this website. It's, like I said, it's a double-edged sword. It's like my father always said, a little bit of information can be dangerous. And
well,
that's what I see happening a lot of times, is that somebody will go to a show, it's like you hear the old comment about gated horses can't canter or gated horses shouldn't be galloped, but yet they gallop across the field when they come to see you. So, you know, it's people, but people getting involved in gated horses for the first time will go to a show or they'll go someplace and somebody will stand at the fence and say, oh no, you're not allowed to canter gated horses or you're not allowed to gallop gated horses. It ruins their gait. Those are the type of questions that people will throw out on social media and say, is that true? Are you not allowed to gallop a gated horse? And then they will get all of that information back from the membership. So
what I wanted to ask you, what have you found, what's your most effective medium right now? Is it Facebook? Is it Twitter? Is it something else?
It's Facebook. Because the median age of our group is around the 55 age mark. And so we still have, we have the, you know, the baby boomers who are somewhat computer savvy, but not big time computer savvy. But our family membership, you know, when we have the kids involved in this, the kids are more adept at using, you know, the Twitter and the tweets and, you know, doing more on that type of social media versus the other part of our membership. So Facebook has a tendency to cross all generations. You know, everything from a 12-year-old to a 70-year-old is going to use Facebook. You know, Twitter is a little bit more, you know, age-specific.
Celebrity.
Yes.
And more geared to, I think it's become almost a celebrity thing now.
It is.
You know,
and people have it on their phone so much anymore.
Right.
Even our older members have Facebook on their phones. So if
right.
I send something out from the Rocky Mountain Horse Association Facebook page, it's instantaneous.
Well, we appreciate you being here. It's been a lot of fun. I'm glad I got to talk football for the first time in a month on this show. So thank you for that. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Give the website out for everybody.
Okay. The Rocky Mountain Horse Association can be reached at www.rmhorse.com.
rmhorse.com. Very good. Well, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate you being here, and we'll have you back sometime. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more about marketing in general also
that
on one of our other
great.
Shows.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That was very interesting. You know, I'm always interested in marketing. That's one of my things that we have to do here at the Horse Radio Network. We're all about marketing. And speaking of that, our song is brought to you by Rockin' Double J Farm in Monroe, North Carolina. Rockin' Double J specializes in offering the finest mountain horses and matching the ideal horse to the wants and needs of each individual buyer or rider. Dedicated to producing horses that are born with a natural, smooth, 4-beat traveling gait, along with calm, people-loving personalities. Please find them at Rockin, that's R-O-C-K-I-N, JJ.com, or on Facebook and Twitter at RDJ Farm. Well, you live in eastern Kentucky, which means growing up, you had to know somebody in the hills out there that had a still in their backyard.
Yes.
You knew somebody that was making
some
liquor.
And not still there.
Not that you ever drank any of it. Of course not.
No.
You know, that never happened.
No, never.
No. No, you never tasted any of that white lightning. Well,
no.
You know the... Because we know
no.
your mom's listening, and we're sure
yeah.
that never happened. Well, I have a song for you. I'm dedicating it this to you and all your friends in Eastern Kentucky and Tennessee. This is by Templeton Thompson, and it's one of my favorite songs of hers called Stillhouse Jane. We'll be right back with more show from the United Mountain Horse. Well, that is Templeton Thompson with Stillhouse Jane. What did you like it?
I like that song. I'm going to have to look it up. I like it.
Yeah, that could
a
be
lot.
Like the theme song for Eastern Tennessee and Kentucky, couldn't it?
Yeah, probably.
I do like that song. You're listening to Horses in the Morning today, brought to you by the United Mountain Horse at unitedmountainhorse.com. I am here with Jackie Clark, who is my co-host once a month, and we take a look at mountain horses, and it is always on the same day of the month. It's always on the second Thursday of every month, so that's when you'll find us here. And Jackie, you're doing great on your second episode. I also wanted to remind people real quickly, Jackie, that missed the first episode, what is United Mountain Horse? Just give them the Reader's Digest version.
United Mountain Horse is something that unites all mountain horse breeds. So that is our main goal, is to keep everyone united under one association. So obviously there are many other associations within the gated and mountain horse breed, but United Mountain Horse kind of unites them all and brings them all together.
And Suzanne was an indication of that, because she was part of the Rocky Mountain Horse Association.
Right.
So that's one of the breeds within the group of the United Mountain Horse.
Right.
And there's a lot of them, isn't there? That's what I learned on the first show. There was a lot more than I thought there was. Yeah.
There is. There's a lot. And sometimes it gets really confusing. So it's kind of hard to keep all under one roof because you have Mountain Pleasure, and then you have Rocky Mountain Horse, and you have Kentucky Mountain Horse, and then you have American Gated, and then you have Spotted Mountain Horse, and sometimes you get fumbled. But it's okay because it's happened to the best of us.
And we wanted to clarify, too, I just want to do this in every one of the episodes because the whole Big Lick thing with the Tennessee Walkers has come up, and you know, people, I think, look at some of the, you know, park classes and things that you guys do and think you're doing the same thing. But I know that you're believers in Tosh and also, you know, natural training. So I wanted to clarify that as well.
Yeah, that's something that we do not do. We do not soar our horses. Our horses have a natural four-beat gait. Obviously, some horses are going to step higher than others. Like our country trail horses aren't going to step so animated like our park horses do. But whether it is a country trail horse or a park horse, the gait is still natural, and it's still a four-beat gait. So these horses were bred to have this gait. It's just like to pick their feet up higher than others is how I tell people, but, you know.
And you probably run into that all the time, don't you, with people comparing you to the Tennessee Walkers and what's happening down there?
Yeah, because obviously, you know, this bloodline kind of has a little bit of Tennessee Walker tied in, and they're like, well, you know, you do this, and, you know, really we don't. There's really no reason for us to, just because we don't have to. You know what I mean? I mean, we have no reason to because it's bred into our horses. You know, sometimes I had a horse that some day she was classic, and she had a blast being classic, and then the next day she'd be trail, and it's just how she wanted to be that day. So sometimes you got to kind of roll with the punches, I guess. But
yeah, you,
I mean,
you don't have any reason to exaggerate something that's already there. And because of that, the standard has become what it is, where, you know, and that's where the Tennessee Walkers have to get to. They have to back that standard off a little bit to become, you know, to become acceptable again, you know, the way, you know. So anyway, I wanted to just clarify that for everybody that's listening going, wow, blah, 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 you know, because I know you guys do get that occasionally. All right, let's change gears a little bit here. We are going to a guy who by the name of Woody Pluckett. And by the way, Woody Pluckett should be a golfer. I think a golfer. Woody, that's kind of a that's what I'm kind of thinking too. You have a golfer name.
A golfer name. I thought it was a country music star before.
Well, it was. It could. Jennifer thought country music star. I'm thinking Woody Pluckett sounds like somebody who should be winning the Masters.
Yeah,
well,
I like golf, Woody.
I'd be happy to.
You would
to
take
do
that.
That,
wouldn't you?
Yeah. Every day of the week. Oddly enough, though, I was also a Miami Dolphins cheerleader. It was you know, so there's two in a row today.
That's when they really weren't paying well.
Yeah, they really didn't have an idea of what direction they wanted to go. It was only about 3 weeks. But, yeah, they didn't pay us much then either.
That was in the Joe Namath days, wasn't it, Woody? That
was, he didn't like the skirts, I'll tell you that.
And I see here, are you actually calling us from Hilton Head?
I am. I'm on vacation.
Woody!
Well, there you go.
It's cloudy in Kentucky. And
it is not cloudy here.
Yeah, I bet it's sunny in 75.
Well, it's high 80s, so
oh, perfect.
Yeah, it's just right. Sun's out. Although yesterday we were bobbing around the water and there were sharks, which has never happened down here before. Yeah, so that was something.
So
well,
did that pretty much?
But they
have
right now. I will forgive you.
Yeah, it was a little. I think we're hitting the pool today. So
yeah,
okay, I'll forgive you.
But yeah,
now,
did they
kick everybody out of the water?
Oh, yeah, and everybody just lined up on the side and pointed at every wave that kind of looked like a dorsal fin. And, yeah, it was exciting.
it was exciting.
That's funny, Woody. Hey, Woody, we're going to talk about trailering today and a little bit about trailering and trailer basics and things and handling emergencies. You're involved with a company by the name of Towpal.com. First, let's talk a little bit about Towpal, and then we'll get into more about about trailering and things. And this is a good time of year to take a look at that because we're all coming off the winter. And if everybody is like me, their trailer sat around all winter and they did nothing with it, and now they've started using it in the spring and they still have done nothing with it as far as preventative maintenance, because we all procrastinate. We think we're going to get to it tomorrow. So, but first let's talk about TowPow, because that all ties in together.
Yeah, well, what TowPow is it's a system that you put a placard on the back of your trailer that has a 1-800 number and a unique ID. And then if anybody sees a problem that's going on back there, they call the 800 number, leave you a voice message, and within 20 seconds, it gets relayed to two cell phones that you have set up within your system. So you're able to get that phone call, hear the message, pull over, and take care of whatever's going on back there. May it be brake lights aren't working, you've got a door open, dragging a chain, or something worse than that, like you're throwing tread off your tire, you've lost the tire. It can escalate from there. But exactly. Yeah, we're trying to avoid that noise.
Oops. That you?
Yeah, I'm trying to get away from that noise. We like the slow pullover and going out and taking care of it before that occurs.
Now, we've had all of this happen to us, Jennifer and I, over the years, and I'm sure, Jackie, you have stories too. I mean, where we've left a door open, we've lost a tire, flat tires. We've seen, you know, horse trailers with door opens. We had one case, and I've talked about it in the show before, where the axle or the bearing seized up, and we saw the tire on a major three-lane highway going across the highway. Yeah, so we've had all of those things happen, and you're right. You get people that are pulling up on you. They're honking their horn. They're waving like crazy, and you have no idea if they're just being weird or, you know, it's road rage or what.
So, exactly. What's nice about our product is the fact that you can – it's going to work on those two-lane roads that inevitably we are always on. You go to a – like when we were you were talking a little bit about the equestrian center and that back road that leads to it. That back road's a two-lane road,
yeah.
And there's really no way for somebody to pull up next to you, have enough time to honk and wave. Most likely, if something bad's going on back there, if they pull up next to you, they're going to continue and pull on past you. So,
well, and the
this
other
way,
thing is, when somebody nowadays, when somebody pulls up on you, you don't know whether they're trying to shoot you or, you know, you just don't know what's road rage or whatever.
Yeah.
The first thing you do when somebody pulls up on you like that is panic. So
a little bit, or ignore them and don't look.
So how does the service work? I order it, and what happens?
You order it. It's through the Kentucky Equestrian Center. It's actually just $30 a year. When you order it, you get in the mail your placard and instructions on how to set it up. You put the placard on the back of your trailer. It's basically a very, very high-end bumper sticker. It's UV protected. It will fade slower than your trailer actually will. Once you put that on, you're able to go through your cell phone, through your home phone, over your computer, and all you do is type in what two phone numbers you'd like the system to call, and you're done.
So if I pick up the phone, or does it automatically just leave a voicemail, or if the phone rings, I pick it up, the other person's going to be there, or how does that work?
Oh, when you get a call from TowPow, what it'll do is it'll be an automated message that says alert has been relayed from TowPow for you.
Okay.
You'll hear the message that was left by the user, so that way it's completely anonymous both ways. You don't have your cell phone on the back. The individual calling you isn't giving out their information. So that way all you're hearing is their message of what's going on back there. Once you listen to that, you're able to determine what the correct course of action is. May it be pull over, or may it be wait to find the right place to pull over. If your brake lights aren't working, you know, you can wait till you find a rest stop or a bigger street, side street you can pull off of and take care of. If you're throwing tread or you're throwing wood off the floor of your trailer, you're going to want to find the fastest way to get over immediately.
Well, a lot of times, too, if you have an open back trailer where the top's open, you know, people will see situations going on with your horse before you do. So yep. Before you know, there's even a problem. So a lot of times that'll happen too. What have you, you've seen a lot of these happen. You've seen a lot of the calls. What would you say are the biggest three things that people are seeing and calling about?
The biggest three, I'd say the largest, most dangerous issue is the tire tread. Over the last year or so, 650,000 tires were imported from China that were completely missed for any type of safety inspection, for any type of regulation that went on it, and they just went out to the public under multiple different manufacturers' names. And these tires will last anywhere from about 500 miles to maybe 3,000 miles if you're lucky. But when they go, they just start throwing tread off. And the issue is that people will call, and, you know, the message may be, I just got hit with a piece of your tire. You know, they may be a little bit upset, but you know right there that, you know, okay, I'm throwing tread off my tire. It's time to pull over. It's time to take care of it. I'll save that one for a little bit later. Next one is usually having your brake lights not working. A lot of times, like you said, you leave your trailer parked, you get it out, you get ready to go, and your connection up your that's going into the rear of your car often kind of is exposed to the elements a little bit, and that connection's not always going to be as tight as it once was or as clean as it once was. So you may have one brake light.
Or in our case, the squirrels have eaten the wires in the trailer.
That happens. That definitely happens. There's also those wires are copper, so they get cut and stolen often too. But that happens a lot. That you know the brake lights aren't working, and then there's also the dragon of the chain. What they'll get a call of is that they're seeing sparks. They can't necessarily see where it's coming from, but a lot of time it's the galvanized chain. It's your safety chain from where you connect. That's dragon. So, yeah, if you pop off of that ball, your trailer's gone. Or it's going to, if one safety chain is connected, it's going to swerve to one side, and most likely you're going to go on a bit of a ride.
We used that safety chains once, you know, and I know a lot of people don't hook them up right either. You're supposed to crisscross them underneath the hitch. You're not supposed to put them straight. You're supposed to crisscross them, and there's they're not going to do anything for you if you put them straight. Now, I have seen some inexperienced people do that. Basically, what happens is if for some reason the trailer becomes disconnected, those chains are going to snap, and they're not going to accomplish anything. But we were actually hauling furniture once with a 2-horse trailer pulled by a pickup truck, and all of a sudden the trailer started going up and down and up and down and up and down, and the only reason it wasn't hitting the road was because of the chains. But what had happened is the hitch actually on the truck had came loose. Some of the welds had broken, and so the trailer was still attached to the truck, but the hitch was only attached to the truck by the front part. The back part where the bumper was loose. And the only thing that was stopping that trailer from hitting the ground and really losing the trailer entirely was the chains. So those chains really do work if they're on there right.
Yeah, and that's something that for maintenance wise, just before you go out on the road, you brought up a great point that you need to check your welds, not only on your hitch, but also those safety chains are welded as well. So the idea that your hitch weld gave out, I wonder how much you had left on the welds on your chain, because most of the time those decay at about the same rate. So when it comes to maintenance, there's a lot of things you need to do. Welds are definitely one of them. You also want to definitely check your tires. Another thing, since we're talking about the connection to the ball, if you pull forward and you feel a little tug or you feel like it's got a little play, that's going to lead to that thing popping off, because it's not fitting. It should be nice and snug. And if when you pull away, you feel like it kind of grabs a little bit or it's got a little movement in there, that's a warning that one good bump and it could come off that ball and you're in the situation you just explained.
Yeah, and it's not fun, by the way. I'll just throw that
No, it's awful. There's not many things that occur emergency-wise on a trailer, dude, where, like, you know, we really need to do this again.
And I'd say the other one, too, is having the bearings done. And that's probably the one that people neglect the most. And that's the reason and we were one of those people. I'm guilty of all of these things, see. So I can speak from experience. And that's one of the reasons we lost the tire and went across the highway. Was because of that. So,
Well, the way you can check, you can do a quick check to see where your bearings are about before you leave. Before you get going, you get down next to your trailer tire, you put one hand on the side of the tire, put the other hand on the very top of the tire, and you kind of see if you can pull it back and forth. You know, most of the time with these tires, you're going to have to use your full body weight. But what that's going to do is it should move a little bit and have a little bump, 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 bump. That way you know there's the bearings aren't seized, and you're also going to know that there's at least some grease left in there. You know, bottom line is at least once a year if you travel, you're going to want to get your bearings inspected, if not repacked. But that way you're going to know if it's moving a little bit, you're knowing that they're not seized. If it's solid, like you can't budge it at all, there's an issue going on in there. And you're going to want to get it looked at. Another neat little thing you can use is the fancy word for it. It's called a pyrometer. It's one of those laser thermometers. You can get them at Harbor Freight for like $20. When you're driving, when you pull over at any time just to stop, you take that little thermometer and you want to hit the hub, not the wheel. And most of the time, you can get to it. It may take a little squirming, but some of the nicer trailers now have rims. And you can get that laser on that hub. And if it's, I'd say if it's above 350, you got an issue in there. It may be bearings, it may be brakes, but something's rubbing, something's creating heat. So that's another nice thing to where you're able to quickly check out what's going on with your wheels. You know, but no matter what, you're always going to want to have your yearly maintenance. The problem that happens with the bearings is when the trailer sits, all the grease is going to settle to the bottom of the compartment where not only the axle is but the bearing is, and it's going to take a while for that grease to get all the way around the bearing again. So you're going to have a little metal on metal when you're first going. So I mean, the bearings, like you said, that's what's making everything go. You're going to throw a wheel completely off if that thing seized up.
Jackie, I'm sure you've never had any of these problems because your family is terrific at getting those things done once a year, aren't they?
I remember my dad would grease our wheel bearings because my dad is a heavy equipment mechanic. So he would have grease on his mechanic's truck. Our bearings got greased before every horse show. Like, this was a routine, and it was so funny because sitting here listening to you guys talk, we had a four-horse slant load at one point when we were trailering every weekend and we were hauling four horses, and the people that we rode with had another four-horse trailer that had two to three horses on it at a time. So we were traveling, and our trailer always got the studs put on it. So we were going to Tennessee, and our trailer – we're at a stoplight, and our trailer is rocking. I mean, literally, it is rocking back and forth. And people are looking at us like, oh, my God, like, what is on there? And they were waving at us, and they were pointing. And we're like, it's just two studs, you know, whatever. But, you know, some people don't know. And it was – that story just popped in my mind just because it was so funny. But, I mean, my dad was very – adamant about making sure our trailer was safe, making sure that even our truck was safe. I mean, he would go out to the barn 2 hours before we would, and he would be checking trailer, he would be checking truck, he would check the horses. I mean, it's important, and it's kind of a step that some people either forget or just don't realize because I want to get to the show is in their mind. It's all about, I want to get to the show now. I got to show, you know what I mean? And even when we ran late, it was always, okay, all right, let's check this real quick. Let's make sure we have air in our tires. Let's make, you know what I mean? So, I mean, all of the points that we've pointed out are great.
Could he come over? Could he come over? Because everybody is now listening, thinking, I need him. I need him at my house. Because
my dad's nice to have around. He's a great guy to have around.
You were lucky.
Sounds like it.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
I'm real lucky.
Woody, it's topal.com is the name of the website. Jennifer, you have something? Jennifer, you're on mute.
I'm on mute.
At? Go ahead.
I'm here. Am I here? I have a great idea for somebody who is mechanically inclined. You show up at a large venue where there's going to be lots of horse trailers, and you hang up a shingle. Free horse trailer maintenance while you wait. You just wander around the parking lot, checking people's air pressure on their trailers, gluing the bearings up, and just do it while they sit there, because the horse trailer's just going to sit there all day.
It doesn't have to be free either. You could charge for that.
Right? You charge $50. Dang.
Oh, I would charge.
There's,
I'd pay
your
for
dad
that.
Has been
I would totally
all
pay
this
for
year.
That.
My word, there's an idea. You know, there's nothing better than getting something as important as your trailer maintenance by someone with a shingle that says, "We'll work on your trailer for $50." That's I don't know. That's the greatest idea.
Woody, thank you so much. We appreciate you joining us. Go back to vacation now.
Will do.
All right. We'll see you. Topal.com.
You got it.
Well, Jackie, I know that you already know. See, now this is the other reason I like working with you guys. Because Karen and everybody, you guys are so organized. I mean, you are the only probably show we do that knows what they're going to do on the next episode already. I mean, we don't know what we're going to do tomorrow, and you guys are so organized. So,
Karen stays on top of it, and she keeps me on top of it. So thank you, Karen, for keeping all of us on top of it.
And the next show will be aired on July the 10th, and we do know what's coming up. You want to talk about that?
So on our next show, we look at the foundation of the mountain horse, but we also look at the future of mountain horses. So Bonnie Hodge, who is the author of a book called The Rocky Mountain Horse, will be looking at more of like the foundation and the start and building up to that future. And Amanda Call from South 40 Farm in Bowling Green will talk about riding lessons for our younger riders that, you know, are the future of this mountain horse. And she'll talk about, you know, what she sees as the future. And South 40 Farm is really cool because they're known as the barn with all the kids. South 40 has really dedicated their time and their energy to the juvenile and the youth riders, which I think is a great thing. They have little girls out on horses that are maybe 3-4 years old. And, you know, at some point I was 4 years old and I was on a horse, but, you know, it's just great what they do. And they have so many great juvenile riders. And, you know, Amanda and them at South 40 are really doing a great job with building the future for this gated horse.
I just looked at the picture on their website. It's south40rocks.com, which I love that, too. That's south40rocks.com. And the picture on the website's with a whole bunch of kids. I don't know if they're all their kids, but it is really a cute picture.
Some are. Some are Amanda's kids. I don't know how many she has, but I know some are her kids.
Well, this has been a fun show. We're glad that you were able to join us again. I know you're in your summer break, so you're enjoying being off of college for about three months, which is good after all the after all the slamming you did of UK earlier. I'm kind of glad because, you know, I think they throw fans out, opposing fans out the windows up there. So you be careful.
As long as it's not Louisville. As long as it's not Louisville. And I cannot stand the University of Louisville. I'm sorry, but I bleed blue sometimes, except during football season. And I roll tide, but everybody calls me a bandwagon fan, but I'm not. I like Alabama football. It's fun to watch.
It is fun to watch, and they are rabid. I mean, they make other states look like they don't even care about them. They make Nebraska look like they don't care about football.
I know. It's awesome.
They really are.
And I love NFL football. So, college and NFL fan. Big NFL fan, though.
I wanted to remind everybody it is UnitedMountainHorse.com is where you can find more information. You have a web page or a Facebook page, too. It's United Mountain Horse on Facebook, right?
Yes.
Okay. United Mountain Horse on Facebook as well.
And that page will lead you to many different links of other pages or other groups. So definitely go check that out.
Very good, and happy birthday to your mom. We hope she has a terrific day.
Yes.
And now you have to take her out to dinner, you know, right?
Well, I tried, and she said no, but I'm going to try again because I'd like a nice dinner.
Or you have to make dinner, or is that too scary, Jackie?
No, I can cook. I'm a good cook.
Okay,
oh,
just
yeah.
checking.
No, I don't want to have dinner.
I know where you can get some alcohol for dinner. I know where you can get that. And apparently you do, too, at one of your neighbor's houses.
Apparently.
We'll be back here tomorrow morning on Horses in the Morning. Jamie will be here. And we are doing really bad ads tomorrow. It's everybody's favorite segment of the week where our listeners submit really bad Craigslist ads from around the country, and we make a little fun of them. So, and there are none that come from Kentucky. Actually, there are not a lot that come from Kentucky,
really?
To be honest with you. No, Arizona, Florida. Florida gets our fair share. We have some from some of the Louisiana and some of the Georgia, some of those states, but hardly ever from Kentucky. So you'll have to start submitting
some. Okay, well, I will find you one. I will.
Okay, you
submit some.
Because
I've seen some bad ones. So I will,
you do that.
I will look.
All right, and send them to Jennifer.
I will give you your first Kentucky one.
You do that. Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com, put really bad ads in the subject line, and copy and paste the whole ad into the email. Do we know what the prize is tomorrow, Jennifer?
Do we know what the prize is tomorrow? It's going to be a big surprise. No, it's Uncle Jimmy.
Jeez, we have no idea.
Uncle Jimmy's hanging balls tomorrow. Uncle Jimmy's hanging balls.
Uncle Jimmy's hanging balls. Terrific. Who doesn't want to win Uncle Jimmy's hanging balls? Everybody wants those. So that is the prize tomorrow. Get your ads in before the end of the day today. So, Jackie, get on Craigslist, all right?
Okay. You all will get a good one if I can find one.
All right. You just look in rural Kentucky. There should be a good ad or two in there that needs made fun of.
I'll send you one. If I have to make one up, I will make one up.
Thanks again, Jackie. Thanks to everybody at United Mountain Horse. Thanks to our guests and our sponsors. We appreciate you being here. We'll see you again tomorrow morning here on Horses in the Morning.